I think I was on a spinning bike and I'm just watching these women in the ring, punching hard, doing these combos, hitting fast. And I thought, okay, oh yeah, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. And that's what made me come back. It didn't make me feel like, oh gosh, she can do that. I can't do that. I feel really bad about myself. No, I saw these women. I said, no, I'm going to learn to do that. I may not be able to do it the way they do it. I may not be as fast as them or hit as hard as them, but I'm going to do what I can do. The best that I can do. I'm going to come back. I'm going to learn. I'm going to be totally open. I'm going to work hard. And I've stuck with it for 10 years now.
Welcome to Reinvention Rebels, stories of brave and unapologetic women 50 to 90 years young who have boldly reinvented life on their own terms to find new purpose and possibilities. I'm your host, Wendy Battles. Ready to kick your fears to the curb, do it scared, and step into who you are meant to be in midlife and beyond? These amazing women, these reinvention rebels, can help light your reinvention path. Come join us and let's get inspired together. Hey, Rebels, it's Wendy, and I'm so excited you're here. This is the kickoff of season 6 of the Reinvention Rebels podcast, and I couldn't be happier that you are here today joining me. This season, we are going to have so many amazing midlife women who are up to extraordinary things, and they're here to remind us that we can all own our awesome. This season's theme. How do we step into who we're meant to be with confidence and joy and badassery? Well, the women in season 6 are going to help us see how it's done and remind us that we already have so many of those qualities, that if they can do it, we can do it too in our own way. And I'm really looking forward to the conversations we're going to have, the inspiration we're going to share, and the awakenings I expect that many of us will have. These conversations always seem to spark something in us, perhaps allow us to see ourselves in a different way, often in a way where we treat ourselves with more grace, and we appreciate who we are and the journey we're on. I can't think of a better way to kick off season 6 than with my friend Mimi Eisen. You are going to love this conversation. At 60, she is just getting started in her next chapter and has so many amazing insights to share. Mimi Eisen is a pro-age movement motivator, blogger, and anti-ageism advocate. At 60, she's a health and fitness enthusiast who crushes age stereotypes on Instagram at Hey Middle Age and writes about midlife on her blog, heymiddleage.com. Her happy place is the boxing gym where she started training at age 50. You are in for such a treat today with Mimi. She is amazing. Mimi Eisen, welcome to the Reinvention Rebels guest chair.
Thank you so much, Wendy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I have been looking forward to our conversation for weeks, Mimi. I have so many questions for you about your journey of reinvention over the years. And I'd like to begin by asking you about reinventing yourself in your mid-50s, because you mentioned to me before we started talking that you completely started over in all aspects of your life in your mid-50s. And I'm curious about what prompted you to reimagine your life.
We talked about a lot of things that happened in my mid-50s when I was 55. And my mom had passed away that year. My daughter graduated from high school. I was having a lot of pain issues from a herniated disc. I was basically running on caffeine and sugar. All of these things were happening. But I'm going to go back a little bit further because I was thinking about this recently. when I turned 50, because I just turned 60 a couple of months ago, and I was sort of thinking back about the time when I turned 50. And I remember so clearly at that time that I believed sort of all the ageist tropes and stereotypes about being 50 and older. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, well, this is it. It's all downhill from here. I really, really thought that. But I didn't, but I didn't absorb it and think, okay, it's all downhill from here. So I'm just going to, you know, throw in the towel. I'm not going to do anything about it. I took it as, okay, it's all downhill from here. So I better get to getting, like, I better start doing the thing that I really want to do. I better kind of do the physical things I want to do before I can't do them anymore. And so from that time to when I turned 55 and sort of all these, you know, I've kind of reached my nadir, a lot of things were not going well. That was the time when I decided, okay, I need to sort of do a clean sweep. I was pretty burnt out at work. And so I left my job and I just started to take care of myself. I started to cook at home. I started to get more regular exercise. I was walking. I was doing a lot of different modalities for my back pain and all these things. And that was around the time when I just started to research, you know, read and find out more things about midlife, what happens physically, emotionally. And then I was learning a lot about ageism. And it was around that time that I realized, like, wow, those are stereotypes, you know, all of these things we believe about things going downhill. And it was kind of between that time and now today that I've sort of transitioned, changed my mind about a lot of things, started getting really active. And lo and behold, all of these beliefs that I have pretty much dissipated for me. It's kind of how it happened.
That is fascinating. I feel like it's like a 180 or something like that, that you really shifted your mindset about this. And it feels like you
had... It was a 10 year.
Right? but I think that speaks to, though, how it takes time. We enter this different period of our life. It feels foreign because things are changing on so many different levels. We have to... It feels like we have to make sense of it, each of us in our own way. And it feels like this was a trajectory for you of beginning to look into it, kind of see how you were thinking at the time.
Yeah, I wish I had known some things about it. Certainly, I wish I had known more about perimenopause and menopause. That was kind of just a completely blank board. I knew so little, and I think that's really common.
Yeah, I agree.
But things are changing now. Things are changing now. So at that time, I wish I had known more about that. But a lot of the other things, you just don't know what's going to come at you. Right? You don't know what's going to happen with your family and your parents and the physical aspects and, you know, how your body changes. And so I think it's good to know about a lot of these things. Certainly, it's good to know about things like, you know, losing muscle mass and bone density so you can be physical and take care to try to maintain those things and, you know, mitigate risks around some of the physical changes that happen. But those other things, they just come at you.
They do.
Softballs just keep getting thrown. And how do you prepare for that? I mean,
it's so true. I feel the same way in midlife. Like, I didn't really know what was coming. And I don't think anything can really prepare us for even what happens to other people. It's still not the same circumstances as our families and what's going on with our kids or, you know, our parents. And so until you get there, I think that sometimes we end up being reactive, perhaps unintentionally, or we're trying to be as proactive as we can. But one of the things I heard you say is that even though you originally had these negative stereotypes and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm at this age and, you know, sort of downhill from now. What I thought was really interesting is that how that motivated you to take proactive steps.
Right.
And that you did start walking and cooking and getting off the sugar and caffeine is sort of a crutch. And I like how that helped you make movements in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why that sort of occurred to me. But yeah, I just thought, okay, second act, let's go. Let's go. But I wasn't sort of believing, oh, I'm going to do that because I'm just going to dispel these myths. It wasn't that. It was like, no, I really believed it. I really believed it. But I think what I didn't understand was how our mindset changes, how our brain changes, how I just didn't think that the thoughts about aging and getting older were going to change so much. That was unexpected.
Yeah.
For the better.
Totally for the better. And I think you illustrate, though, what's possible when we're open and that we can change, that this is not a fixed mindset forever. You know, we're stuck with that. There's always this possibility. And you mentioned the second act. And I think that speaks to that so well, that we can always invite in new possibilities if we're open, like you were in this case.
Yeah, a lot of things happen in the second act, right? The first act, you're kind of getting things set up. You're trying to understand the characters. You have relationships. You have things happening. But the second act, that's kind of where all the excitement happens.
It is. And that's so funny that you, in thinking of it that way, the first act and the mm-hmm. second act. And I think that that's such a great mindset for this, because the theme of this season, Mimi, that I'm talking about on the podcast is own your awesome. And part of what that sparks for me and what you're saying is that in your second act, you are taking center stage, that you are the star of your midlife in really determining how things unfold.
Oh, wow. That's a great observation. I love the way you put that.
Oh, yeah. Like you're on it. You're owning that awesome. That speaks to me so loud and clear. And I love that. And
yeah,
I think the other thing that I think of when I think of you is you have this brand, so to speak, Hey Middle Age. And I know that this is like everything else in your second act. It's developed, you know, over time. It's evolved. But one of the things that you started was this blog, as I mentioned in the intro, that's called Hey Middle Age. And what I know is that there are millions of blogs out there. There are so many people, just like there's so many people that YouTube and do that kind of thing. What was your inspiration to start Hey Middle Age, the blog, and how has it grown?
Well, some of it was just as I was reading about all these changes and things that happened. I'm a problem solver. Like, I like to solve for things. So, for example, when I started to use, you know, reading glasses, like most of us will in our late 40s and into our 50s, that was annoying for me, pulling them out every time I wanted to look at my phone. And so you can do something called, this is what I do, monovision, where you have distance vision in one eye and you have near vision in the other eye. And it enables you to see your phone and your laptop and menus. And so you can see, it's not crystal clear, but you can see. And I thought, huh, none of my friends know about this. And then I started to read about sarcopenia, which is the loss of lean muscle mass. It can start in your 30s. And so if you don't do something to maintain your muscle, build your muscle, decades later, you're going to have a hard time. So I thought, my friends don't know about this. Let me just write some of this down. Let me kind of see if they have any interest in these things. And so I thought, okay, I got to do something. I want to do something for myself. Blog. Yeah. Yeah. There's millions of them, but whatever. Let's just put it out there. Let's just try. And so I think I had mentioned this to you, Wendy. If you just, you know, search how to start a blog, you could put one up in a few hours, a day or two. And mine took 2 years because of just all the typical things, the worry and the fear and insecurity and, oh, this is, you know, no one's going to want to read this. This is stupid. What am I doing? All the imposter syndrome stuff. And then at some point I just thought, okay, just push publish, just PP, just push publish. And it's the same on Instagram, just push post, just push it, you know, just do it. And sometimes I just ask my question. It's kind of, you know, I mean, a little bit of a silly question. It's like, am I going to care about this when I'm 80? No, push.
I love that. I love asking yourself these questions to motivate you into action instead of getting stuck.
Yeah.
Those are great ideas. Yeah.
But I do think, I mean, I hear from a lot of women in midlife that this is the time, right, where they sort of break down their fear, start to not care what people think. And it's so interesting how that happens for so many, but at the same time, it's the complete opposite for so many. So I'm in some groups with a lot of different women, and, you know, they talk about having something that continues to hold them back, whatever that is. Ultimately, I think it does come down to some kind of fear, and, you know, and it manifests in different forms. But So it's kind of interesting because I'm seeing both on both ends of the spectrum. And I think my big question in life right now is like, what is the thing that's enabling you to do the, to like face the fear, get over the fear and just do it? Because boy, you and I know there are women out there who are just crushing it, doing all kinds of things.
Yes.
And just saying, I'm just doing it. I'm just going for it. You're one of them, Wendy. You made a decision. I'm doing the pod. I'm out there. I'm doing it, right?
Yeah.
And but then I meet a lot of other women who kind of get into a mindset of, I just feel like they create these blocks for themselves, right? So these are some common things I hear. It's like, well, you know, I'm interested in, you know, they want to do something, but oh, I'm interested in so many things. I just can't pick one. That's super common. Or something I call the forever researcher. I'm a forever researcher. Like before I want to do something, I worry a lot. So now I gotta like read a little more. I gotta listen a little bit more. No, I can't quite do that. I can't quite say that. No, I got, it's like more, 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 more without taking any action. Well, that doesn't really get you anywhere.
No.
You gotta take the action. And so just sort of being cognizant of those things and understanding that the action, whatever it is, make the decision. You don't have to choose the one thing. It doesn't have to be the perfect thing. You don't have to know all the steps because, hey, if you start something, it's going to take you to another thing and another thing. And it's probably going to take you somewhere that you never planned for. You maybe had no knowledge of, and it will just surprise you. And that's the fun part. Like you just don't know what could come your way unless you just get out there and just try it and just do it. Pick the thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be the right thing. It doesn't have to be the perfect thing. Just pick it. Pick one.
Are you thinking, I'll have some of what she's having? Reinvention Rebels are amazing, as you can hear from our discussion. They've put themselves first, decided their dreams matter, and are taking action. They have unleashed their inner rebel and are living on purpose in midlife. Are you ready to start putting yourself first and embark on your midlife dreams, focused on what you want, not others' ideas of what you should do? Come check out my new audio course, Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, 8 Essentials to Greenlight Your Life. I share my roadmap to get you started on your reinvention journey, with the key components you need to navigate detours and get on the road to smooth reinvention sailing. Sis, it is time to give yourself the green light to shine in midlife and crush those dreams of yours with joy and purpose. Join today and let's reinvent and get inspired together. Details are in the show notes.
I love that advice. I love that advice of just picking one and getting started and seeing where it leads and course correcting as you figure it out. Because you're right. So many women are paralyzed by trying to analyze everything, as you said, or, you know, imposter syndrome or getting stuck in perfectionism that stops us. And I really feel like it extinguishes our joy. I feel like women are we're so joyful. We have the potential for such deep joy. And especially in midlife when, yes, in some ways things can be heavier with dealing with things we hadn't expected, as we talked about. But in other ways, things are often lightening up and are shifting in ways that can provide more opportunity for freedom and joy. So when we look at women that are doing the things, even if it's things we want to do or we admire them, I like to look at them and say, well, what is it that they have that I might not have, but I could use that to inspire me into action? So
100%.
Right? Just kind of.
I mean, and again, that's something else you can look at in different ways. So when I see something visually, I don't like, we know comparison is not great. It's lousy. It makes you feel bad, all the things. But when I see somebody and they're doing something that I want to do, I'm inspired by that person. It's like, yeah, I want to do that too. That's like when I started boxing classes 10 years ago, it was the hardest thing I had ever done. It was a total fluke when I did. I had never done, you know, a push-up, a burpee, all of those kind of calisthenic, you know, like a hard exercise. I'd never done any of that. And I just thought, what am I doing here? I'm just like scared out of my mind. And it just felt so intimidating. And the coaches had biceps as big as my head. But there are those times, you know, when you have less than a split second to just decide yes or no. And I don't know what made me do it. I said, yes, I'll try it. Not for me. Go down. Everyone's great. Everyone's nice. Everyone's helpful. And again, hardest, toughest physical thing I had ever done. I'm on, I think I was on a spinning bike, and I'm just watching these women in the ring, punching hard, doing these combos, hitting fast. And I thought, okay, oh yeah, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. And that's what made me come back. It didn't make me feel like, oh gosh, she can do that. I can't do that. I feel really bad about myself. No, I saw these women. I said, no, I'm going to learn to do that. I may not be able to do it the way they do it. I may not be as fast as them or hit as hard as them, but I'm going to do what I can do, the best that I can do. I'm going to come back. I'm going to learn. I'm going to be totally open. I'm going to work hard. And I've stuck with it for 10 years now.
That is impressive.
But that's how I see it when I see somebody doing something that I want to do. That's like, oh, like, what's my version of that?
I like that idea. What's my version of that? So using what other people are doing to inspire you, and then layering on what's my version of that. So not that I'm going to do exactly what so-and-so is doing or so-and-so is doing, because I always feel like we're all so unique. And even if thousands of people are doing it, no one is doing it the way that Mimi is doing it. You're doing it in your 100%. Own unique way.
Right.
So I really like this reminder that you're sharing with us, that we can find our unique path. We can use others to motivate and inspire us, and then find our unique path. And I have to tell you, I'm doing that when I look at you. One of the things I remember, Mimi, when I first saw you on Instagram, and somehow probably in Reels, I saw one of your really cool dance videos where you are an amazing dancer. I'm like, is she professionally trained? She's so good at dancing. She's got amazing rhythm. I was like, I can't do that. But I was very inspired watching you. And then I saw some other videos and I saw how flexible you are.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, I saw Mimi go under this pole and do these things with her body that I don't think my body would do that, but I was like, that is so cool. I don't know how someone is that flexible, but I love it. But it motivated me because I thought, okay, I'm a little stiff. I'm not nearly as flexible, but I can start where I'm at. And
right.
I use other people like you and other people that are very athletic to motivate me where I am. I've got bad creaky knees. I've had all this knee surgery. I'm not going to go be a triathlete like one of the amazing women I interviewed, Kathy, but I can start from where I am, and it can motivate me to just get out more, to exercise more, to walk more. It reminded me of, I used to do a lot of strength training and then I kind of fell off the wagon, but I can get back on. I can do those things. So I am with you. Like, you
absolutely
motivate me.
Yeah. You get off. You get back on. Off the track, get back on. Fall again, get back on. Just get back on. And by the way, Wendy, those dances you're talking about, I couldn't do those dances either. You have to start from the beginning. Just start from the beginning. And I usually, you know, I'll break it down. I'll screen record them and then watch them in slow motion and break it down. And then I don't know if you've done dancing with choreography, but it's how we should be doing a lot of these things. So if you're doing choreography, well, you kind of warm up first, and then it's all broken down. So you usually start with the feet, right? You start with the feet, kind of learn the steps from kind of the bottom up, and then the arms, and then learn the transitions, right? From going from one 8 count to another 8 count. And then once you get that down and you practice and you practice and you practice and you practice, that's when you kind of start to add on all the layers. That's when you add on your own
fun,
your own, you know, that's when your personality comes out. But it doesn't just happen. But that's like with everything, right?
Right.
Get your feet set first. Go from the bottom up. Start to build it. brick by brick. My coach always says, we're building the house brick by brick. It's little steps, baby steps, one little step in front of the other. So if you think you're just going to go and do the dance, well, that's pretty overwhelming. Like if you see it, and I'll see them and I'll think, oh, geez, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. But you can't know until you get in there. Again, break it down, start really small, and just keep building from there. And you will surprise yourself. You will surprise yourself what you can do. But you got to do it like a step at a time.
Yeah, you got to break it down.
Step at a time. And I think that's why, you know, things like New Year's resolutions, you know, typically fail. Because it's a lot of times it's something really big. You know, it's a really big goal. I think people just sort of jump into it. It's like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to work out, you know, 5 times a week. Well, I don't know, kind of setting the bar really high. It may be too high to be sustainable.
Right.
That's just my feeling, right?
Yeah,
to be sustainable, to create
totally
the discipline,
agree.
To make something a habit. What works for me is starting really, really small and just keep building.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I like how you broke it down with the dance as a great example and really a metaphor for anything can seem overwhelming no matter what it is, whether it's a physical challenge or it's a mental challenge or it's, I have this idea. I listened to Mimi and she said, just pick one thing. And now I've picked one thing, but I don't know where to begin because it seems so overwhelming. And it's that same idea. Break it down to just what's one simple step I can take. Even though it may be imperfect and I'm not even sure, but just, I'm just going to get out there. And, you know, it's like throw the spaghetti against the wall, see what sticks and adjust accordingly. And that's,
right.
I think, is a great roadmap as we think about reinventing.
And I don't even know if it's really, I don't know where to start because there's so much out there. The information's out there. Maybe it's that it's too much. It's too much and I'm having a hard time deciding where to start. That can be a challenge. I understand that. A lot of it's trial and error, I think. We like convenience. We like to sort of know, you know, the right thing to do or what's going to get us the results. And I think there's trial and error involved. You just got to get in. You got to fight it out for yourself, right? You need to do some work and find out for yourself. And so I don't, you know, I'm not a coach and I'm not a trainer. I'm not out to tell people, oh, you should do this and you should do that. It's more higher level, more general things. Yes, you should, for me, you should do strength training. I think that's really, really important. But I'm not going to tell you specifically how to do it because there's so many ways to do it. So you got to find the one that's going to work, right? Start with body weight, start with bands, get some dumbbells. Maybe you need a trainer. It kind of depends on your personality. What works for me is I like classes. I like a trainer or a coach. I want someone to tell me what to do, how much to do, and when to stop doing it. Like that's what works for me. That's how I will work, you know, to my best potential. If I just sort of do it on my own for myself, which I can do too, I'm not going to work as hard. And that's okay too. That's also okay. You don't always have to be, you know, working at 100%. But if I really want to, you know, have a really satisfying class or something. Yeah, I need that coach. But that's just me.
I understand. And I hear you. And I think part of it starts with knowing ourselves and what we need.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a little different for all of us. One thing that I think that's interesting in many of the things that you've said in our conversation, and especially as you've thought about reinventing yourself in your 50s and how things have changed over the last decade, one common theme I see in your story is one of resilience, that you are a resilient person, that you've used resilience to help you with your mindset in moving forward, in being able to change some of the things that you didn't like, as in you know, you're losing muscle mass, but you want to maintain it. And it really got you into strength training and you found the thing that really lights you up, that makes it fun. What advice do you have for midlife women to build their resilience muscle? What can women do to be more resilient in midlife?
Well, there's a couple of things. I look ahead. I'm looking ahead to figure out, okay, what do I want to be able to do physically when I'm 80? And And then I kind of work backwards from that. So I want to be able to do 8 counts of dance choreography at a moderate speed when I'm 80. Okay, so what do I need to do now to be able to do that when I'm 80? And so that's sort of how I think about, from the physical standpoint, what to build and what to do. But this is going to go off on in a different direction. But I've also thought about just the idea of something being the last time. And so what I mean by that is there's going to be a last time for most things. There may be a last time when I'll be able to dance at some point. I think about, you know, I've had this kind of chronic back pain. It's manageable now. But sometimes I think, when was the last time I didn't have back pain? What did I do that day? Did I just bounce out of bed? And so my point is like to have gratitude for what you do and what you can do and what you have now. And I'm going to just tell you this example because I just read it, I think yesterday. So I have an InstaPal. His name is Carlos Whitaker. And he's at LoSWHIT, LoSWHIT. And he wrote something that just moved me. And it's just tied back to this same idea. And so he was writing about it being the last night that his whole family was together in his house because his daughter was moving out and starting her own life in her own home. And so he was basically saying, he was talking about that last night of them all being together, and it was going to not be, it was not, it was, that was it. Like, it was never going to be the same way again. And he was just talking about how precious that was and how that, what that night meant to him. And like to basically, you know, have gratitude for these things. And it was just so moving. And I think just the idea that can be applied to so many things in life. I mean, this might be getting off of the topic, but that's also how I see things. It's like you can't just assume that you're going to have whatever you have, you know, whatever capabilities you have and all these things tomorrow. So really have love for it and have gratitude for it. And I don't know. I mean, I guess that could tie back to resilience in some way. It's like how you think about things. And how you honor things.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. I think it makes total sense. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
So, I think there's a couple of different ways I look at things.
Yeah. And I think it makes total sense what you're saying that, you know, our mindset helps us be resilient. And if we're thinking about what are some of the things I want to do? I heard you say that. Like, what do I want to be able to do when I'm 80? I want to be able to do this with dance at a moderate rate. Yeah. And also this idea of gratitude and appreciation, that absolutely helps us with resilience. And, you know, because I think we have so much more than we think we do. Even when we're challenged, even when we're going through struggles, there's always something we can find appreciation for in our lives, even if it's teeny tiny.
Right. I mean, think about it. When things go wrong, the thing we want most is for things to go back to normal, right? So if you have a physical issue, something happens with someone in your family, something tragic happened, whatever, right? There's always something that's always happening. And a lot of stuff is, I just wish things were normal again.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we just kind of need to embrace the normal, have gratitude for the normal.
I think that's a powerful way to be resilient. And it certainly helps us with our mindset or surrounding ourselves with other people like that have a mindset like this. Even if we don't, even if we recognize I'm really struggling, who can I reach out to? And I think it was interesting because you said you had your Instagram partner, and that reminds me of community when you said that, because I know many women who belong to many different communities of all different types, whether they're online or in person, or it's your book club, it's your close friend circle, it's your niece or sister or whomever those people are that make up community. But I feel like it makes a big difference when it comes to reinventing ourselves, that we have our guides on the side, our cheerleaders, people who believe in us when we sometimes don't believe in ourselves. But I also know, Mimi, that not everybody has a community.
right? Many of us belong to all these multiple different communities. And then there's other women that would like to be more connected, that would like to have more of these guides on the sides in whatever way they show up. What's one suggestion you have for a midlife woman that wants to build community and she's feeling like that's lacking right now? What's one simple thing that she could do to get on that road to feeling like she's part of a larger community?
I think that is so common. You know, there was this group that I had joined sort of during the beginning of the pandemic. They were called Revel. It was an online group. It had been in person originally, but it was an online group that just brought women over 40 together and all with all different activities and things. They've actually folded this year, but that's why all these women were there. They wanted to make connections with people. They wanted to meet people. They wanted to make friends. And that can be, you know, they say it's harder as you get older. It's harder to make new friends. But I don't necessarily think there's a simple way or an easy way. But you have to be intentional about it. You can't sit back and wait for it. You have to go out and you have to go get it. You have to get it. So you have to, you know, you have to look for groups. You have to meet people and maybe walk away and there's no connection. But you know what? You tried it. And then you go and you try it again. You try it again. There's all kinds of online groups. Find something that you're interested in. Find a group for the thing you're interested in. For me, I love the gym. There's great connection at the gym because we're all there with basically the same goal. And it's because it's very challenging. We're all in the same boat. Every level of fitness is challenging for everybody. And so, you know, we kind of can all look at each other and go, I feel you. Like, yeah. I totally feel you. But I just feel like you have to just go out and do something. And if you don't want to do it in person, there's so many online things. And I've connected with lots of people online. I mean, I've met a lot of people through groups online. And as a kind of offshoot from this group Revel, which again has since folded, I'm still in a couple of groups now. Like, these women have stayed together. And, you know, one of my favorites is this group of four of us who've been together for probably almost 3 years now. We're from all over across the U.S. We're different ages. We have different perspectives. And, you know, we get together on Zoom every 4 to 6 weeks and just kind of catch up and see what everyone's doing. And we support each other. We have ideas for each other. And it's just, you know, it's just great. I have to say, I don't want to keep bringing up the pandemic, but I have connected with more women because of the pandemic. Like, I have groups of friends that we just started to get together online, and then we started to go outside. I had this one group, we'd see each other maybe 4 times a year. Now we're seeing each other every few weeks.
I just love that.
You know, became a regular thing. It changed a lot for me.
It's interesting. So, and I think it speaks to the shifts. You know, so many things have changed in our whole world, obviously, because of the pandemic. And right. After the pandemic, how we relate to each other and socialize. And I know people are in different places about being together in person versus online. But I think that there's so many different configurations that we can find a way to make it work. Because I think the key thing that I heard you say is about intention, that we have to be intentional, no matter what configuration it might be or format for building that community. When we do it with intention, it's so different than like, oh, I'll just see what unfolds, you know, but saying, I want this.
It's coming back to the action again.
Yes.
You need to do something. And I get it. It can be scary. It's scary walking into a room of a bunch of people you don't know. It is for me. I think it is for a lot of people.
Yeah, I understand that.
But
yeah,
if this is what you want, you have to be scared a little bit. You have to sort of lean into the discomfort. I'm a big proponent of discomfort. That's the one thing I learned from my boxing coach, is you have to be uncomfortable with being uncomfortable, because the discomfort is where, that's where you learn things about yourself. That's where you find out what you can do, what you're capable of. It's where you get a lot of satisfaction when you come out on the other end. And you could kind of get through the day having a lot of things be comfortable and convenient pretty much the whole day if you wanted to. but it's a lot more fun to kind of dig in, get a little uncomfortable, and have the satisfaction coming out on the other end.
I agree. And so much learning in that as well. As we're starting to wrap up, Mimi, I want to ask you this one last question, which is, if you had to give your 10-year reinvention journey a theme, how you've morphed and grown into what and who you are today, what would you call that? How would you theme your reinvention journey?
Well, this will not surprise you. Be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
There you go, right? That says it all.
Not only does it say it all, it does it all.
I love it. That's great. I know that people listening are saying, wow, Mimi is so cool. I want to know Mimi. I want to know Mimi Eisen. I want to know more about this woman who is doing such cool things at 60, that has this really open mindset, who is moving forward into more joy, is resilient, is learning lessons along the way, course correcting is necessary, and continuing to grow. Where can people find you, Mimi? Where can they find you online?
Well, I'm most active on Instagram at Hey Middle Age. So come on over, visit me, message me, comment, and I usually write back to just about everyone. And then the blog is heymiddleage.com. And that's where I dig in a lot deeper on all kinds of different subjects, everything from, again, muscle to beauty culture to sometimes I'll comment on, you know, something that's sort of happening in the cultural zeitgeist at the moment and just sort of what comes to me. It's a much deeper dive over there. And you can email me. There's an email link there. So,
wonderful.
Yeah. I'd love to hear from any of you.
And I have to say that I really adore Mimi. I love following her. I love the things that she's doing on Instagram. So it's always interesting and exciting. So I highly recommend that you follow her. And all the details that she just mentioned are in the show notes for easy access. You can tap or click and easily get right to her.
Oh, and you know, actually, you know where else I am a little bit is I'm on Threads.
Oh, are you great. Threads? I am. Well, yeah. I'm technically on Threads, Mimi, but you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I honestly do not have enough time in the day.
I'm a little bit active on Threads, and that's
excellent.
But there's like a different feeling there too. So every place I'm at is coming from a different place.
We will link to all of that. Mimi Eisen, I cannot thank you enough for gracing me with your presence today and sharing your reinvention journey.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy. You are just one fabulous person.
Well, thank you. It's likewise. You know what? It's mutual. So this was so much fun. And I really appreciate you coming and sharing your insights with the audience.
I appreciate you, Wendy.
Okay, is it just me or was that an amazing conversation with Mimi? I gained so many insights about this midlife journey, about my body, about getting stronger, about building community. There were so many different nuggets and I hope you felt the same way too. If you loved our conversation, I want to encourage you to subscribe to the Reinvention Rebels podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you never are missing an episode. If you really, really loved it, I encourage you to leave me a review at Apple Podcasts. It only takes a couple of moments, but it makes it easier for other people to find this inspiring content. And it's also a reminder that we're just getting started in midlife. There are endless possibilities, no matter really how old we are. And I hope this reminds you and lights a little spark in you that you can go on your own reinvention rebel journey too. Just like Mimi and the other amazing guests you're going to hear this season. And don't forget to check out Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, my new audio program, which is all about lighting up and igniting that spark on your reinvention rebel journey. Details are in the show notes. I cannot wait to see you
back here for our next episode with another amazing rebel, 66-year-young Kim Selby. You are going to love her story. I love how she has reimagined her life, is going for it, and has manifested so many of the things she's talked about, has wanted, are all coming to fruition. You're going to love her story about launching her acting career in commercials in her 60s with her white hair, and how people are loving on her. So it is more inspiration coming your way soon. In the meantime, keep shining your light, rebels. The world needs you and all that you have to offer. Are you tired of waiting for someday? Feel like you're too old or it's too late to reinvent yourself? Unsure of how you'd even get started on the path to midlife reinvention? I'm here to help. As your guide on the side and host of the top 2% globally rated Reinvention Rebels podcast, I've been around the reinvention block a lot. Here's a simple way you can get started. Sign up for my free audio, 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your Reinvention Rebel journey. It all starts with getting curious about what's possible. And I've got 5 questions to help tease out some very cool ideas. Let's get started. Details are in the show notes.